So a couple weeks ago, Judah and I put the sea-doos in the lake, and one of them worked right away. So he took it out and started driving around. The other one just wasn't working. Finally, I got it working. I went out with him. His died in the middle of the lake. And at some point, we realized we weren't going to be able to get his started again. So I look in the compartment, and I'm like, I didn't bring a rope. I have no way to get him back to shore. Thankfully, there was some other people there, some other boaters that had a rope that were able to tow him back in. But I was like, man, that is such a rookie mistake. That is such a rookie mistake. I've been through this enough times now where I've had to tow sea-doos around that I should know how to do it. And I should know what it takes to be prepared. But it was just such a rookie mistake. Oftentimes, Tiffany and I, as a lot of you guys know, we were foster parents, and we had 11 babies come through our house. Every once in a while, we would show up to a place without a stroller. And again, we're like, it's such an obvious thing. It's such an easy thing. Like, we just didn't think about it. We just didn't remember. And so we made this rookie mistake. It's the type of thing you would expect new parents to do. But when you've had 11 babies, you don't make those mistakes anymore, right? Well, maybe. Last week, we talked about the freedom that we have in Christ, that we are no longer slaves, that we've been adopted into God's family. And this means that we're part of something bigger and that God has already claimed victory for us. But the truth is, victory doesn't mean that there are no battles. It means that we're not fighting alone, and it means that we're not fighting unarmed. And so our teaching today is going to be out of Ephesians chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over there. Because we all face battles in life. When you got saved, it didn't eliminate the battles. Instead, it actually, in some ways, intensified. Because now, as we're going to see, there's an enemy out there that doesn't want you to succeed, that doesn't want you to move forward in your faith. And so we see that at different times in life, temptation comes knocking at our door, right? Temptation is right there when you're feeling a little sad, when you're feeling a little lonely, when you're feeling a little hungry, when you're feeling a little stressed. All of a sudden, temptation is there, and it's just knocking at your door. Or maybe you're laying awake at night, and doubts start to creep in, and there's this overwhelming sense of something isn't right, and I don't know what I can trust. And so you get these doubts that creep in. Or maybe it's in a relationship that you have, and it starts to strain, and you're with the person, everything seems fine. The next day you go back and you notice that it feels like there's just something off, something different, something strained. Or maybe it's fear and anxiety. I know that some of us in here, we struggle with anxiety. And after, like right away, it feels like things are good. But after a few weeks, it feels like we're taking hit after hit. And the reason is because the Bible tells us that we're not just in a battle that we can see, taste, touch, but there is a spiritual component to everything that's happening. We're in a spiritual war. And far too many Christians try to fight that war without using the things that God has given us to help us. Imagine going into a battle. Imagine going into a war, and you've got your sword, but you don't have any armor on. You're not going to last very long. Or even you've got your armor, you've got your shield, but you don't have a sword, and you're not very effective. It's absurd to even think about, but this is what it's like if we try to win a spiritual war without wearing the armor that God has given us. And Paul gives us this brilliant analogy in Ephesians chapter 6 that really sets things up for us. He tells us to put on the full armor of God. Because when we do, he says, we're going to be able to resist the attacks of the enemy. Now, again, I want to point out that resist doesn't mean that the attacks aren't going to come. But it does mean you're going to have a good chance of fighting them off. So today we're going to look at how the parts of the armor work. Now, as I was putting this message together, there's a good chance that we don't make it through all of it today. I'm just going to say that right up front. We will be sensitive to the Spirit of God and listen to Him. But my goal is to get through a good part of this teaching, because next week, I'm excited. I'm going to be at summer camp, and so my former pastor is going to be coming, and he's going to be presenting the word next week. He's going to do a great job, but I won't be here, so I didn't want to split this into multiple messages, but if we have to, then we'll do what God says, not what I want, right? It seems like a good way to live your life. Okay, so our big picture then today is that you can't win a spiritual war with half your armor on. You can't win a spiritual war with just half your armor on. Now, if you're in Ephesians is a book in the New Testament. It's after the Gospels, after Romans, after 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It was written by Paul to the church in Ephesus, but it was probably intended to be distributed around to different churches in the area. And it was written to help them strengthen their faith and to show them what's possible for those who believe in and live according to God's word. So both for those who believe in God's word, but importantly, you have to live according to God's word to see the benefits that are being talked about here in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6, now he's concluding his letter, and he wraps up with one final word of encouragement. He tells them, that he says, I don't know when I'm going to see you again, so there's one thing that I want you guys to focus on. Here's one thing that I want you to take away from this letter. It's going to kind of wrap everything together. And he says this, chapter 6, verse 10. He says, finally, because he's concluding the letter, finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stands against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against what we can taste, see, touch. It's not against our boss. It's not against our mother-in-law. It's not against our kids, right? It's not against any of these things. He said our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after having done everything, to stand. So he says, be strong in the Lord. And this implies that you can be in the Lord and you can be not strong, right? That you can be a Christian, you can be a believer, you can be somebody that comes to church and you cannot be strong in the Lord. And the reason that he says this is because he's going to list out in just a minute the tools that he's given us to use. The idea of armor is this brilliant analogy, like I said, because armor protects us and it gives us confidence when you're going into a situation. Now, I don't wear armor on a regular basis, but sometimes I have to get baked potatoes out of the oven. And sometimes I need a little extra protection to help me when I'm grabbing those potatoes out of the oven because they're pretty hot, right? And so sometimes I need that extra layer there to help me. But when I have that oven mitt on, now all of a sudden I have an extra boldness, right? I don't worry about tapping the potato first to see if the foil is too hot. I don't worry about if there's steam coming out of it because I've got a layer of protection on so I can just jump in. They say that, in sports, people wear protective gear because it gives them assurance that they can do things that they wouldn't normally do and not get hurt. If you think about an NFL linebacker, like running through a gap in the line and getting ready to hit the running back or getting ready to hit the quarterback, and they're running as fast as they can, and what do? They lower their shoulder because they know they've got pads on their shoulder. They try to get their head out of the way because they know that the force on your neck is bad for you. But if you hit your head on the ground after completing this maneuver, you know that you're not going to get hurt, or at least not going to get hurt as badly. So they wear armor, they wear protection so that they can have confidence knowing that they're going to be okay. And armor, the spiritual armor that Paul is going to talk about, it boosts us in the same way. It gives us a new confidence. It gives us a new authority when we go through life. And the truth is, in verse 12, he says that we have an enemy. That we don't just live this life the way it is, but we have an enemy out there that's trying to hurt us. And he says that he's developed methods. The word there for schemes, it says, verse 11, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The word there is the Greek word for it is the word that we get the word methods from. And so it's this idea of a strategy. The devil has a blueprint. He's got a strategy. He's got a to-do list for how to ruin your life. He's got these schemes in place, these things that he's trying to do in order to attack you, in order to come against you. And a lot of times, we don't see it coming. A lot of times, we get ourselves in situations where we're not paying attention. The enemy has developed methods for keeping you, to frustrate you, to control you, and to keep you bound. Now, we don't have time to go into who our enemy is, so I'm going to put a number up on the screen here. I've actually developed a little study guide. It's 2 pages long. It's got some information about who our enemy is. And so if you text the word warfare to our text line, 509-350-4343, or if you go to that website, gcmoseslake.org/warfare, I will email you tomorrow this study guide that has just a list of different things, that who the enemy is, what he's trying to accomplish, and stuff like that. So I think it'll be a good resource for you. So if you want to just text that number or go to that website, and it'll get you connected with that resource. But the Bible says, put on your armor so that when the enemy's schemes come to fruition, you can stand firm. So that when the enemy starts to attack, so when he starts to go through his list, so when he starts to put his plan into place, you'll begin to be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. And I love this. I love this idea, again, because you think about a Roman soldier. And oftentimes, they would be traveling together, and they would link shields, and they would be able to stand firm, stand their ground, because they had their armor on, and because they were with people that were standing firm alongside of them. And so the Bible tells us that when the enemy comes against us, put on your armor, because it's going to help you to stand firm. Now, one of the things that I've been chewing on, we're gonna get to our first point, the belt of truth here. This is about guarding against the enemy's lies. Again, because we have an enemy that has all of these schemes. He's got all of these tricks, and his number one trick is to try and convince us that God is holding out on us, that God is trying to keep something from us. Well, doesn't God just want you to be happy? Right? That's what the enemy will say to us. And so then I use that happiness to justify all sorts of behaviors in my life. I use it to justify all sorts of things that I might want to do, because of course, God wants me to be happy, right? If he didn't, then what kind of God is he? And so I know that he's holding out on me, and I know that he's trying to trick me. The thing about belts is belts are great inventions in modern days, because what does a belt do? It helps to keep your pants up, right? Helps to keep you from being embarrassed when you fall for a trick again and again and again. At some point, you need to recognize it. You need to say, okay, this is a rookie mistake. Every time I drive past this part of town, I stop in and I do this thing. Every time I come home late at night, I'm tired, I'm hungry, whatever, I don't just make myself a sandwich. Instead, I log onto my computer and I start visiting websites that I shouldn't be visiting. Or every time I'm around this person, I just get so triggered by them, I just get so emotionally invested in what's going on that I not only take it out on them, but everybody else for the rest of the day. And so we start to see these schemes in action. We start to see these things coming up over and over and over again. Now, Jesus said in John 8:44, he called Satan a liar. He said that he's the father of lies, and that his primary tactic is deception. His primary tactic, the primary thing he's trying to do, is to deceive us, to keep us bound. We see it all the way back in the garden. If you guys remember Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve are in the garden, everything is perfect, and then the snake comes. And what does he say? What does the snake say to Eve as she's sitting there? He says, God wants you, or God doesn't want you to eat this fruit, because he knows what's going to happen when you eat it. You're going to be just like him. You're going to know the difference between good and evil. God is holding out on you. God doesn't want you to be like him. So God is holding out on you. He's trying to keep something back from you. He's trying to trick you. He's trying to deceive you. And what this says then is that this is one of the primary tactics the enemy uses in our lives. And the truth is that this is what worked on him as well. Because we see when he fell from heaven, his desire, his goal was, his pride said, I'm going to be like God. And then God cast him down. So what we see then is that victory starts with the truth. It starts with the truth. In a Roman armor, the belt wasn't just to hold your pants up. Instead, it kind of held the whole armor together. Everything was connected to the belt. It was where you stored your sword. It helped hold your breastplate in place. Everything was connected to the belt. And victory in our lives is going to start with the truth as well, because you have to know who God is. You have to know who you are in Him. And in order to do that, you have to know what His Word says. You have to start to understand what His Word says about you and about what God wants to do in you and through you. John chapter 8 said, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, then you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth will give you victory. Knowing God's truth sets us free from Satan's lies about our identity, about our values, about our future. The enemy tries to trick us in all sorts of different areas. But the belt of truth holds all of our armor in place. So without the belt of truth, you start believing these lies. It says, "I'll never be enough. I can't do this on my own." Or you believe the lie, God doesn't care about me. God's just, he's up there in heaven. He's got bigger things to deal with. He's not really worried about me. And so you start to believe these lies, or you start to believe the lie that says my worth is in my performance. My worth is in what I can do, my earning power, the things that I can accomplish. And if I don't do those things, then I'm worthless, then I'm not enough. And so you start to believe these lies of the enemy, and what happens then is this leads to insecurity, it leads to comparison, and it leads to burnout. And the devil, that's exactly where the devil wants you. It's exactly where he wants you, because once you're in that state, once you've got this insecurity, once you've got this comparison, once you've got this burnout, then you're so much easier. It's so much easier for him to begin to manipulate you. To say, you know, you're tired today. You've had a long weekend. You don't really need to go to church. You don't really need to get up early and read your Bible. You did it three times this week. It's fine. You don't have to do that again. And so the enemy can start twisting, can start manipulating, can start challenging you in different areas if you don't have that belt of truth secure. But with it, with the truth, you're going to start to recognize what's true. You're going to start to see that you are loved, that you are chosen, that you are equipped by God. You're going to start to see that when an unexpected bill pops up or you make a mistake at work, you don't freak out, you don't spiral, you don't get all up in your head, you don't start dealing with anxiety, oh man, I hope my boss doesn't find out, he's going to fire me, and you don't spiral in that way. Instead, you understand, you recognize that God is my provider, that God is looking out for me, and you start to see, as you recognize the truth of the Word of God, you start to see how God is carrying you in each and every circumstance. The truth stabilizes you. It helps you when your emotions are going crazy. It helps you when the pressure is on. It helps you when other people try to put their opinions on you, because you start to say, no, I know who God says that I am. Now, if you want to know a little bit more about what God says about you and God says to you, we've got some bookmarks back at the Next Steps counter. You can grab those after service. It just says who I am in Christ. And it's just a list of scriptures. Now, if I could give you and get you guys to do any one thing, like if there was anything that I would say, okay, we are being successful as a church, it would be to get people memorizing the scriptures that are on that bookmark. Because when you do that, when you start to get that word inside of you, when you start to really understand the things that God is saying to you and what He said about you, the fact that you're adopted into His kingdom, the fact that you're more than a conqueror in Him, all of these different truths that God gives us, that you are His messenger, that you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, that you are His workmanship, right? All of these things, all of these truths that God has given us, they all come in the Word of God. And as you put this belt of truth on, as you start to memorize His Word, as you start to get it into your heart, it's going to protect you. And honestly, it's the foundation for everything that comes next. It's the foundation. The reason I'm staying on this point for so long when I've got 6 points to get to is because this is the foundation. You've got to get this right. If you're not in the Word of God, if you're not memorizing the Word of God, Matt, what I used to do, and it worked so well, and so I say this every time I think about it, but I used to just write out scripture verses on index cards, and I'd hang them on my bathroom mirror, or I'd hang them in my car, or I'd put them in a place. You know, if you always grab cereal in the morning from the same cabinet, and you know that you're going to do it routinely, man, tape it to the cereal box, and then, you know, remove it before you throw it away. But get it in a place where you're going to see it. And then if you just read it a couple of times, you don't have to spend all sorts of time memorizing it. If you read it 5 times a day, 6 times a day, 8 times a day for a week, you're going to have that thing pretty well memorized. You're going to have that thing ingrained in your heart. You're going to be doing what the Bible says to not just consider the Word of God, but you're going to be meditating on it. It's not going to happen the first time you read it. It's not going to happen the 10th time you read it. But you're going to notice over the course of a week how your entire outlook changes, how everything starts to be seen through this lens, how when hard times come and you're like, wait a second, I'm a child of God. I don't have to deal with this right now. I know who God says that I am. And there's a, like I said about armor, there's a new level of confidence that comes when you start to see yourself the way that God sees you. The enemy, his number one tactic, his number one goal, his number one desire is to try and get you looking anywhere else except for the Word of God. He wants you to start looking inside of yourself. I love Disney movies. They've done us a great disservice by saying that everything that we need is inside of us. By telling us, by lying to us and saying that all that we need, that our entire, our truth in life is found inside of our hearts. You know, to just believe in yourself and you're going to see great things happen. No. This is where you need to believe right here. This is where you need to put your trust right here. When you start to recognize, when you start to see who God says you are, that's when you start to see victory. That's when you're going to start to see breakthrough. That's when you're going to start to see that new level of confidence come. It says, I don't have to fear. I don't have to hide back. I can charge the enemy. I can move in on his ground. I can start taking back the ground that the enemy has stolen. Amen? Amen. All right. Number two, breastplate of righteousness. So now we've moved from understanding the truth to now one of the truths that is key for us to understand is this idea of righteousness right here. So a breastplate obviously protects the heart, protects the vital organs. It protects your core. If anything gets through and penetrates this area of your life, it's going to cause a lot of problems and possibly even death, depending on where the injury occurs. And so this breastplate is a vital piece of the armor. Now righteousness isn't about being perfect, but it's about living in right standing with God through Christ. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. It means that when temptation comes, we don't fight alone, but instead we stand in the righteousness, we stand in this confidence knowing that it's not my works that made me clean. It's not something that I did that gave me right standing before God. Instead it was something that he did and I get to benefit from it. And so there's this confidence that says that the breastplate isn't even my creation. It's not something that I had to work up to. But it is something that you have to believe in, and it is something that you have to walk in. So it's not something that I had to put on. It's not something I had to add to myself because Jesus did it for me. But I do have to learn to rely on it. I do have to learn to trust in it. You see, victory is possible when our hearts are guarded. Victory is possible when our hearts are guided. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So the breastplate covers your heart. It's the source in the Bible of your will, your desires, and your emotions. Living in righteousness through Christ protects us from the heart-level attacks that temptation, shame, and compromise are trying to bring on us. But Paul, in a different letter to the church in Corinth, says, no temptation has seized you, except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He's not going to let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he says, he's going to provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now, what we're seeing here is that the truth of God starts to explain to us some ways that we need to live our life if we want to live in the things that God is calling us to do. So the truth of God, that belt of truth, is starting to inform the way that we posture ourselves, the way that we live our lives. God promises that when temptations come, he's going to provide a way out, but we've got to start looking for that way out. We've got to start recognizing when that temptation is coming in our life. We've got to start understanding it so that we can make move to deal with that temptation. Because God has given you the truth, He's given you the understanding, and He's given you the righteousness. So in this case, it's not about us putting the righteousness on. Sometimes we take the righteousness off. Sometimes we get home late at night. Like I said, we're hungry. We're, you know, it was a hard day. There's a lot of stress happening, and so you take the righteousness off, and you set it off to the side. You start to yell at your spouse. You start to yell at your kids. You start to, you know, look at things that you shouldn't be looking at. You allow that temptation to overwhelm you, even though God promised that He was going to provide a way out if you walk in His righteousness. Without righteousness, you're letting your guard down. You start to justify sin because you're tired or you're stressed or your kids are crazy or you're, you know, whatever's going on. So you start indulging in these unhealthy habits. You start harboring bitterness inside of you because somebody did something wrong to you, and God knows it. And if God was here right now, He would agree with me and He would be on my side. And so it's okay for me to harbor bitterness because everything that they said was wrong and they did me wrong, and I, you know, I need to stand my ground and all of these things. And we start to allow it to eat away at us and who we are. And we're setting aside our righteousness. We're setting aside that thing that God gave us. And we're allowing this to hit our heart, to consume our heart, to overwhelm us. We're allowing it in. We've already been given the breastplate of righteousness. Don't remove it. Don't allow the enemy to hit you in the heart. With the breastplate of righteousness, you're reminded that you don't have to earn it. Like I said, it's a gift. That God's grace helps you to resist temptation, and it helps you to make better decisions even when you're exhausted, even when you're stressed, even when you're hungry, all of these things. And so it's going to protect our heart so that stress doesn't lead to compromise. It doesn't lead to guilt-based parenting. It doesn't lead to working too long or not working enough. It doesn't lead to all of these things. Instead, we see that we can start to walk in a healthy way, in a God-honoring way because of the breastplate of righteousness. Here's, I'm gonna talk about the shoes really quick, because I think these three really tie together well, and then we'll wrap up. We'll come back to this then in 2 weeks, and we'll close out with the other parts of the armor. The shoes of the gospel of peace. Now, this is about standing firm in Christ. Oftentimes in Roman armor, they would actually have like spikes or treads on the bottom so that when they're really leaning in and the enemy is trying to push against them, they've got a grip. They've got a way to stand firm, to stand against what the enemy is trying to do in their life. But we don't often have that. I mean, if you're an athlete in here, you've worn cleats before and stuff like that. But I was thinking about maybe a more modern day example. And have you ever gotten home at the end of the day and you sit on the couch and your feet are just throbbing, and you're just like you're for some reason, everything, all of the stress, all of the blood flow transfers down to your feet, and you start to think about it and you're like, wait a second, I wore dress shoes all day today. And I probably shouldn't have done that. At some point, I probably should have switched to something a little bit more comfortable because right now, I'm in pain. I'm hurt because I wore the wrong shoes. My son Caden was here this last week. He's in the Army. He's down in El Paso, Texas, and he was telling us about this book that he picked up. And in this book, it was all about how to prepare to become a better soldier. But it was all very detailed, almost minutia, almost stuff that you would just randomly overlook, or most of the time you would overlook. One of the things that it had in there was it had how to cut your toenails. Like weird stuff like that. It had, you know, this is the right way to cut your toenails, this is the wrong way to cut your toenails. But what they've seen in the Army is that if people don't take care of themselves, and then they're out on the battlefield, they're trying to win a war, but they've got this hangnail in their foot, it makes everything harder. The other thing he was showing me is he was talking about how he's very gifted, he's very athletic, and he can do a ruck march. This is you've got a 40-pound pack on your back, and you go off on this hike through the woods. He can do a 5-mile ruck march in probably the same amount of time that it takes me to do a 10-mile run, or a 2-mile run. Sorry, I can't even run 10 miles. But he can do a ruck march in probably about the same amount of time. I didn't even ask him to go running with me this last week because I didn't want to be embarrassed. But he was telling me that oftentimes he'll do this, and he's blazing fast. He's top of his unit. He's always, in fact, he goes to like competitions and stuff like that because of how fast he is. But he said he'll do it, and then the next day, like his feet are shot. And oftentimes he'll start developing blisters and things like that. And one of the things that the book called out was it showed him a different way to lace his boots so that he doesn't have to deal with that problem anymore. Actually recommended cutting his shoelaces in half, lacing the bottom half of the boots and then the top half of the boots so that you can have different tensions on both so that when he goes out on his next march, he's able to perform. And the next day, he's still able to have peace. He's still able to do the things that he needs to do. And so when I say that these three things fit together, we have the truth of God, where God is telling us who we are and what he wants us to be. We have the righteousness that protects us against these heart-level attacks. But then when you've been standing for a long time, when you've been resisting for a long time, when you've been dealing for a long time, when you've been, you know, there's this coworker that's just always on and on and on, and it just drives you crazy. Or you've got family, or you've got friends that are just always causing issues in your life, when you've got all of these things going on, the Bible says that you can have a peace in the middle of it. That there is a gospel of peace that God wants to give to you. That says that you can, and there's two parts to this because the gospel of peace is for us, and it's also for us to demonstrate to other people, right? Because we are sometimes the only gospel. A lot of times we're the only Jesus that somebody is going to see. And so what are people seeing in us? They should see that peace. They should see that calm. They should see us living the way that God wants us to live. If I could have the worship team go ahead and join me on stage. Now, peace doesn't mean that there's no chaos. But instead, it means that we're grounded in Christ in the middle of the peace. The gospel, the good news, the gospel is the good news that Jesus came, that he lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross for us, that he was raised to life again. That is the good news. And that good news gives us peace. That good news sets us free. That good news shows us a new way to live our lives. It doesn't mean that there's no chaos. It means that when we have that peace operating in our lives because we understand the truth and because God has given us his righteousness and now we can have peace because of those things, we start to see that we get to live a new way. Romans 5 says that we have been justified through faith, and because we've been justified, in other words, because we've been made right before God, we've been given his righteousness, because we've been made right before God, the Bible says that we can have peace through Jesus, through understanding who he is and what he wants to do in our lives. And then Philippians 4:6, and I love this verse, it says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't allow fear and worry to cloud your mind. Don't look at the circumstances of life that are around you. Instead, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. In other words, pray to God with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up right here. And what I want to do is I want to give an opportunity, first of all, for those of you guys that you're missing that peace in your life. You see the anxieties, you see the storms of life. You know that things are hard and you see there's a tension, there's an issue, there's a hurting there. God wants to give you peace today. God wants to give you his peace today. Without the peace of God, you're going to feel like you're tossed back and forth by the storms of life. That you're anxious, that you're reactive, that you're tense, that you're stressed out. And you feel this pressure to keep your family afloat or to succeed when work is overwhelming you. And you feel this pressure like you have to hold everything together. But when we understand the truth of God, and when we're resisting temptation the way God wants us to, then the next step is we get that peace inside of us. It becomes a guard for our heart. It becomes a way that we can stand firm against the enemy's attacks. It helps us during the chaos of life. When you have that peace, you carry peace into the chaos. It's not about just praying and God giving you peace in the midst, but you're a walking peace bubble. And when people come in contact with you, they see the peace of God on you. Because again, that thing starts to go wrong at work and everybody else is freaking out. Everybody else is panicking. You're like, relax, guys. We got this. It's okay. Because I know who my God is. And I know that he always comes through for me. I've got peace in this storm. I've got peace in this chaos. And so when things don't go your way, when the turkey was burned on Thanksgiving, whatever it is, right? When things don't go your way, you can have peace. And you just roll with things. And you trust God. Because God loves you and he saved you. And you become the calm in the storm, not just for yourself, but actually for other people as well. And this is the other part of that gospel of peace, is it becomes an illustration to the rest of the world. So I don't have to panic. I don't have to fear. Because I've got a strength. I've got an anchor in something that is stronger than me. I have a confidence. I've got my armor on. I know that the enemy is trying to trick me. He's trying to deceive me. He's trying to get me all worked up right now. But I'm not going to let him win. Because I've got truth. I've got righteousness. I've got peace. Man, 2 weeks from now, we're going to talk about the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. We're going to talk about how those things work together as well. But right now, I just feel like maybe there's somebody in here that you just need the peace of God. You're struggling in a storm right now. You might have been saved for a